Welcome to the Jaguar Podcast, a show where we discuss all things related to Duval County's finest NFL football team, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Blue 42, set, play!
Duval, baby! Hey, hey, everybody. This is Andrew coming back at you with another episode of the Jaguar Podcast. My guest for this discussion is former Jaguars All-Pro place kicker Mike Hollis. Mike Hollis signed with the Jaguars as an undrafted free agent in 1995. During his tenure with the Jags, he played seven seasons and made 175 out of 217 field goals with a field goal percentage of 80.6. Mike is also the founder of ProForm Kicking Academy, an instructional kicking and punting school. You can follow Mike on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at ProForm Kicking. You can also follow him on the ProForm website, www.proformkicking.com. I had a blast speaking with Mike, really enjoyed it, and I hope you do as well. Here's my discussion with Jags All-Pro place kicker, Mike Hollis. All right, we have Mike Hollis on the podcast. Mike, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, so as a Jags fan, one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind is that 96 wild card game against the Buffalo Bills. You hit that 48-yarder. It bounces off the right upright and goes in. Really exciting time. Can you walk me through kind of in your head what, you know, how that experience was?
Well, yeah. You know, that game was our first, playoff game as a franchise. And there's only been really two times in my life where I remember being extremely nervous, like so nervous that my legs were shaking. And that game, actually the very first field goal of that game, and that was one of the moments where my legs, for whatever reason, it was like a short, like 27 yarder, and I was just shaking because just the environment, the atmosphere, and you know, the first playoff game in the NFL for the Jaguars, of course, and it was a little stressful, of course, but my very first kick in the NFL with the Chargers, that was the other time. But you know, that kick itself, I knew, you know, clearly that it was would have made a difference in the game, which it did, but you don't have a lot of time to think. I mean, it's as weird as it sounds, you know, they call field goal and, you know, and everything happens so quickly and, you don't have a lot of time really to kind of, think about what it is that's really going on. You're just kind of in this zone. And, so I wasn't shaking nervous, but you know, clearly I'm nervous on any kick that's, important and, you know, should be treated the same, but, I've always tried to, at least, you know, in every game, treat every kick the same, regardless of what the scoreboard says. Every kick is important. So they're all important. So that kick in general was a little strange because the wind had kind of changed directions in the second half. And I kind of knew a little bit the wind was going that certain direction, but Brian Barker actually, he told me afterwards, he goes, man, I forgot the wind had changed and I put a little bit of a lean on that ball. That kick, a lot of people don't realize though, that kick, I got roughed. I literally got wiped out. My legs got taken out from under me. So here I am kicking the ball. I kick it. I look up, I see it's going right down the middle. Right. And that was one of the best kicks. You know, as a kicker, you know, when you've had those really good hits and that was one of the best kicks I've ever had in my life. And I hit it so solid. And the next thing I know, I'm looking up at the sky because some dude came way late and wiped me out. And Brian Barker's, you know, holding, you know, helping me up, you know, with his hand. And he said, yeah, man, it went through, you know, because he had this nervous look on his face. He said, hey, it went through. And I was like, what do you mean it went through? It was going right down the middle. He goes, yeah, but it took a sharp right. He says, watch the monitor. And I'm watching the monitor like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea it took such a sharp right turn. And thank God it hit the inside of the upright because had it not, we would have, it would have been a tie game at that point still, hopefully. But who knows what the outcome would have been.
Yeah, and that's surprising to me. They didn't throw a flag after you got roughed. I mean,
Yes, it did to me as well. And that was very blatant, and it was very late, by the way. And so, and I don't know why. I've been roughed a few times in my career, but, you know, most of them are called. That one, for whatever reason, wasn't called.
I know. Wow. That's crazy. Watching Coughlin's reaction after you hit that field goal was very surprising to me, because I felt like, I don't know if he was, whether he was in shock or whether he's, that's just the way he reacts. But what did Tom Coughlin say to you after you hit that field goal?
I don't remember if he said anything to me specifically, right after that kick, you know, afterwards, you're maybe in the, on the plane on the way home, or maybe in the locker room after the, afterwards, he may have said some things, but, you know, happy, of course, we won the game, but, it was his reaction was, you know, Tom's a perfectionist. So his reaction to me means, you know, we can't be cutting those kicks so close. You know, he doesn't, yes, we just, you know, we made the kick, and I'm sure he's like, oh, thank God it went through, but we can't be that close on those kicks. We got to make them, you know, I've had him talk to me on extra points where I kind of barely squeak an extra point in. And back then it was from the 20. So it's kind of embarrassing when you miss a short 20 yard field goal like that, or extra point. And you know, even if I'm coming close to missing, he'll have a word with me. He's, hey, straighten that ball out, Mike. Don't be complacent with this kick. You know, don't treat an extra point like it's no big deal. You got to kick every kick the same, and, you know, make the kick. Don't be keeping me on thin ice here as far as my nerves.
Yeah. I heard Coughlin was pretty intense, head coach, perfectionist, like you said, but did you enjoy playing for him?
I did. He was very intense. You know, when during the time I was playing, you know, we're young, and most of us were at that time. And you know, it's kind of sometimes kind of hard to understand some of the reasons behind his the methods to his madness, put it that way. But, you know, looking back, you're like, man, I get it now. I know that, you know, he was just trying to keep everyone on the same page, keep everyone accountable for each other. And I respect him tremendously. He's done a very good job at, you know, pretty much every team he's been with, he's been very successful. And, you know, he's got that Vince Lombardi kind of mentality, which, hey, Vince Lombardi, they have a trophy named after him, you know?
Yeah.
So it's gotta be something important. So, you know, you gotta respect the guy that spends so much time, you know, with his job. And I mean, the passion is just, off the charts. You know, people get passionate about what they do. Tom Coughlin is beyond passionate about football. He lives, breathes, and eats and sleeps football. That's all he wants to do is coach football.
Yeah. He's had just such a great career. You know, I was doing some research on you, and you had just mentioned kind of earlier in our conversation that you had kind of a stint with the San Diego Chargers. You're an undrafted free agent. And then in 95, you joined the Jaguars. But what I thought was interesting is I also know Josh Lambeau was an undrafted free agent as well, and did actually, you know, he played for the San Diego Chargers. And I was just kind of curious what your thoughts were on Josh, you know, being the place kicker for the Jags.
But both Joshes are tremendous.
Yeah.
Yes, Scobie and Lambeau.
Right, I forgot, yeah.
Yeah, right. But they're both very level-headed guys, respectful, and you know, team players. They're definitely got that attitude where, you know, they want to do the best they can for themselves and their team, of course. And I think Josh Lambeau has been very good. You know, he's very mentally strong. I think that's one of his best attributes as a kicker. And I think as a kicker in general, you've got to be pretty strong mentally, but. He's just very fluid with everything he does. Nothing really seems to bother him. I've never seen him really physically rattled as far as the way he looks and appears. I've, you know, watched him, you know, kick plenty of times, but very smooth in his approach. He's more of a, what I would say, a traditional soccer style kicker. So he's got that soccer, clearly that's his background, but he's got that soccer swing. I didn't have so much of a soccer swing. I tried not to in a way. I mean, I can explain that later, but it's all about a forward motion for me and the way I teach it and all that. But, you know, he's an incredible athlete. Both Joshes are. And so I think that really is a very good thing for those guys. And I think that, you know, like I said, going back to the mental side of it, you know, Lambeau is, you know, he's got pressure on him because he's so good at kicking the football. He makes every kick. You know, now you're kind of setting the bar, setting the standards higher. So you kind of, you know, and he's got a way of controlling that. I've always tried to dumb things down because the more hype I put into a kick myself, the more, you know, pressure I'm going to put on myself and the more nervous I'll be, even though I always was nervous. I mean, I think that's just natural, but for most guys, I think some guys have that ability not to be nervous at all. And I think Lambeau's got a very, very level head, and he's done an incredible job. I just, I hope he doesn't get caught up into anything as far as, you know, look how good I'm doing. And complacency is really where I'm going with it. So as long as he can just stay focused and not worrying about missing a kick, which I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm sure he's already there. You know, he's already got that same sort of mental attitude. And I think he'll have a long career here.
Speaking about focus, I wanted to pick your brain on this about kind of pre-kicking, like mental exercises and focus. And did you have any of your own before you had, you know, big kicks or?
No. No, the answer is no. I think differently about kicking. The thing with me is there is one thing that might be mental as far as a pre-kick mental routine. The routine is you kick a few kicks in the net, you get ready, you know, you're watching the scoreboard, you're looking at the time, you're looking at the down and distance, you know, third down's coming up, you know, if it's third down, you know, if you don't get, you know, 9 yards, you coach is going to call field goal. So you got to be ready. So there's a routine. And then of course, when they call timeout, you just reverse that routine. You just start all over. And that's one thing about timeouts. People, oh, timeouts bother you. Well, yeah, they mess up the routine, but I like to go back to the sideline and start that routine all over. I'll have a coach say, hey, you know, call field goal. You know, when you think the time is right, just call field goal. And I'll act like, oh, field goal, time to kick, you know? So as far as mentally, the way I think about it is, as crazy as it sounds, I didn't care where the ball went. Because I was focused on my form and technique. I wanted, yeah, clearly I know in the back of my mind, the kick is important. I got to make the kick, but the priority of what my mental capacity was at that time, what was going through my head at the time during a kick is just focusing on key points of my technique. As long as I do the technique properly, the ball will go where it's supposed to go. And that's where I kind of separate guys like Lambeau, like Josh Lambeau and other guys, Justin Tuckers, those guys are incredible athletes, incredible kickers. The form isn't, in my opinion, what I would want. I don't think they're getting as much as they could out of them. And there's a lot of reasons why, but I'm not going to say anything about what they're doing because they're obviously doing very well. So I'm not in a position to say, oh, you guys should change. You should. No, they are doing just fine. They're successful. I'm not going to interfere with any of that. I would never. But with me specifically, I wasn't a great athlete, to be honest with you. I was a very small considering, you know, in the NFL, I was 5'8". I thought, you know, they say I'm 5'7", but I swear I'm 5'8", you know, 180 pounds. And I couldn't kick the ball like they could because they're bigger and stronger and faster than me and better athletes than I was. So for them, those guys like the Lambeaus and the Tuckers and those kind of guys that have been very successful, with not perfect form, in my opinion. Now don't get me wrong. Their form is what they got good at and what they are very good at. In my opinion, that kind of that technique and that form and the lateral stuff that they do and did, I couldn't do because I need 100% of me into the ball because I'm not that athletic and I'm not that strong and I'm not that big. So I needed to have my 100% of me kick the ball. Whereas, you know, the Sebastian Janikowski's of the world can just use that big leg of his to kick the ball. And I'm not saying his form is bad or a lot of guys' forms are bad. I will say, and if Matt Bryant was listening to this right now, he would agree with you 100%. Matt Bryant played in the NFL and he would say, yeah, my form was not great. And Matt Bryant would be the first one to say, yeah, my form is just not great, but whatever he did just athletically, he just did it really, really well. And so I, again, going back to that thing, I wasn't as athletic as those guys, big, strong and freakishly athletic. So I had to rely on other means. So that's where my mental focus was my technique.
Gotcha. So I know, Mike, you had some battles with injuries with your back. You know, Josh Lambeau, in the 2020 season, he had some issues with his hip. He was out. Is that a pretty prevalent thing in the kicking business?
Yes, I believe so. Mine didn't really come so much from kicking. You know, my back was already kind of, you know, my family has history of bad back. So, and as a kid, you know, you're always doing crazy stuff. And my back wasn't the greatest when I started kicking and going, you know, going from, you know, high school to college and then in the NFL, my back was always kind of like, yeah, I got to ice it occasionally here and there. And I always maybe have a little bit of a herniation or something of a disc that didn't kill me or bother me too much. But, you know, when you get in the weight room and you do, you know, heavy squats and things like that, if you don't do them properly, which I got caught doing a couple times, and I paid for it because I threw my back out a bunch of times, actually, to be honest with you, in the weight room. So it has to do with, you know, proper technique and just doing the right things. And I think just the mechanics of kicking is, you know, over and over and over again, you think about how many balls you kick on a daily basis. There's a lot of footballs you're putting your foot on, and it takes a toll after a while. You know, you look at golfers, they, you know, Tiger Woods, mm-hmm. of course, obviously he's got more issues now, but pray for that guy. But the lateral swing of a golfer. So for example, for kicker, there is some lateral swing, but most guys think they have to do this lateral swing. And I don't want to do a lateral swing because I think I need 100% of me, which equates to forward momentum essentially. So I didn't want to turn, which alleviated it, or I took a little bit of stress off the lower back. But you get the guys who do a lot of lateral twisting and turning, they're putting a lot of stress on that lower back. And so that's where you get those back injuries. And some guys have knee injuries and hip injuries. And anytime I hear people with groin injuries, it makes me cringe because it's really not the way to kick anyways. You shouldn't be kicking with your groin to begin with. But I can't, again, I'm not going to fault anybody. It could be Justin Tucker with a groin injury. I'm not going to say, oh, you're a bad kicker, Justin. Clearly they're doing really well. So again, I'm not going to say anything bad about those guys, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, injuries are prevalent in really any sport. I mean, you go in the locker room on a Monday after a Sunday game and it's full.
Yeah.
The training room, I should say, the athletic training room.
Yeah. Squats. You got to watch out for those. I played football in high school and I did the same thing. I hurt my back, and it's just like, it's all, like you said, all about form and technique. I wanted to ask you this question about, you know, your experience working with different, you know, holders and long snappers. I know Brian Barker was primarily your holder. When you changed up long snappers or holders, did you notice your kicking, did it change at all? Were you less comfortable or more comfortable? Or I was just curious.
Yes. When you think of a skill that has to happen under 1.3 seconds or around 1.3 seconds, there's not a lot of room for error. And there's got to be a certain comfortability about it. And there's got to be a certain trust about it. You know, if you've got a snapper that's not real consistent, your trust is now like, yeah, you're thinking about that rather than what you should be focusing on.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Barker was the best holder I've ever had in my entire life. That guy would catch anything from Dave Vidal, and believe me, he got everything from Dave Vidal. You've probably seen some of the games in the past. I mean, Dave, I love you, brother, but he's been a little bit, you know, he was a little bit shaky at times, but again, that wasn't his job. Dave was there to be an offensive lineman and a center for Mark Brunell. You know, he was just happened to be the best snapper on the team, and that's what we went with. But nowadays they have, obviously, you know, specific skill snappers that are employed to just snap. So the operation between a snapper and the holder and a kicker is something. And on top of that, now that these NFL guys or teams have snappers, you're now having the snapper and the kicker and the punter, which is typically your holder, working out together all day long.
Yeah.
Every day when they practice. I didn't have that at all. I had Brian Barker, of course, just holding balls from, you know, out of his hand, but I didn't have the whole operation to work with, only in pregame and or pre-practice. And even then it wasn't really, you know, Brian Barker's warming up too. So I've got maybe Mark Brunell or somebody else, or Jonathan Quinn, if you remember him, or Rob Johnson, if you remember him.
Yep.
Had those guys in pre-practice. I had Jesse Palmer when I was with the Giants.
Okay.
The bachelor himself, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's different. It's something that you have to get comfortable with, and there's a certain trust level and there's a certain timing. And believe me, you go from one team. And that's, again, when Josh Scobie went to Pittsburgh and he kind of struggled. I know, I think he might've been still hurt or whatever, maybe been on his mind or whatever, his quad and all that. But when you go into a new team, especially thrown in the fire like that, you have to deal with a new snapper and a new holder. So things, and again, it's a mental thing. It's just a trust thing. It's just you know, it's tough. It's tough. And once you find that rhythm with who you like and everything, then you can just focus on what you need to do and not worry too much about the snap and hold. But, you know, in the NFL at that level, especially these days, the snappers are incredibly good. They can get the laces straight. The holders, all they got to do is catch it, put it down.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes Brian Barker look like, oh yeah, no problem. No, but it's definitely a different operation these days, but it definitely matters.
Yeah. It seems like it's all about really comfort and consistency. As a fan, I was watching, you know, the 2020 season this year. I noticed there was a lot of missed extra points. And then I was actually doing some research into this, and it looks like, you know, during the first week of the 2020 season, it was like the worst year for kickers for point after attempts and field goals in the past 10 years. And I was kind of interested by that and wanted to get your take on it, you know, what you thought was the cause of that.
I have one great answer for you, and this is coming from personal experience. I'm aging myself, but you remember the Houston Oilers?
Yep. Okay?
Our very first victory, I think, as a regular season franchise, Jacksonville Jaguar franchise, it was in 95, of course, was against the Houston Oilers in Houston. And the Houston Oilers weren't that great, and their fan base was dwindling. I think that it had been announced that they weren't going to be in Houston anymore as a Houston Oilers football team. And I think maybe a year after that is when they finally turned into the Titans, I guess, but and moved to Tennessee and all that. But my point is that going to play in that game in I think it was in the Astrodome back in the day, there wasn't very many fans, and I'm not kidding when I say if I whistled really loud, it would echo in there. That bothered me. As a kicker, you want consistency. I don't care how loud it is in the stadium. That is normal. Stadiums are loud. When I kick a field goal, if I'm at an away game, I expect it to be loud because that's what it always is. I went to kick field goals in that game, and it was quiet. It was very like weird. And that's exactly what I thought when this whole COVID thing went down. I thought, oh, these guys are going to struggle a little bit this year because it's not normal. And even the regular players, you know, yeah, it's different for them too, but not in a sense because they're glued into their, there's no consistency with their play as far as the fans, you know, screaming at a certain time that you're doing a certain play. It's all just very, you know, it is a game, and they're doing their thing during the game, and there's no consistency with the fan and the sounds and all that. With kicking, there's a very consistent structure with regards to the sound and what happens during a game. And so I think mentally it played a little bit of in my personal experience going back to that game. I was kind of lethargic that game. Thank God I didn't miss any kicks. I actually kicked the game winning extra point after Desmond Howard scored a touchdown to put us at 16-all, I think. And then I kicked the extra point for the 17th point. It was just really weird. I felt real odd in that game. And I think that's exactly how those guys are feeling or felt this year.
Yeah. That's an interesting take, like the environment and how it affects you when you're kicking in those high pressure situations. I thought maybe it had to do with the lack of a preseason and maybe practice, but I think you're onto something there.
You can add that lack of preseason in there too. I, you know, that is, you're thrown right in the fire and, you know, let's go, it's game time. You know, this counts, this is for real.
Yeah.
That's another reason, I guess. But I think that the primary reason is exactly what I said, is that just the oddness of a quiet stadium.
Yeah. So I'm sure you know about the new rule that's being proposed in the NFL for onside kicks. Onside kicks. They want to replace that with a potential a 4th and 15. And I just wanted to get your take on this because I think it's an interesting proposition. And wanted to kind of see if you thought that kind of devalued a team's maybe place kicker or special teams unit.
I do. I think it's taken away from the game. I mean, if it's for safety reasons, I can understand that, but let's still have the kick involved. Let's still come up with different ways to make an onside kick. Give the kicking team an opportunity to get the ball in a kicking play. Now again, I've never thought real deep about it. You know, when they were talking about moving the kickoffs around and all that, and the safety on the kickoffs, I had a kind of proposal, and it's almost what the XFL did. You know, the XFL was already lined up down on the 25 and 35 yard line on the end where you're kicking to, that is really eliminating a lot of speed and heavy blows, clearly. But my philosophy on that was the fact that, like, I'm punting. How many injuries do you see on punt returns other than the guy just getting blasted? I understand that. And that's they've taken care of that and all that. But my point is that with punting, both teams are running down the field at the same time. With kickoffs, you got the front five on the kickoff return team, and you got, 10 guys running down with five, but the rest of the team is still back there and they're coming this way. So there's all kinds of room for head on collisions and a lot of room for error, for injuries and stuff. But, I think if they could come up with a different way of just having an opportunity for a kicking team to kick off and get a ball and that takes away from the actual, the whole premise of the game. It's like, I would hate to see, clearly I coach kicking. And so, if they take kicking out of football, I don't have an academy anymore. I mean, there's nothing I would, I think it'd be a disgrace if they took kicking out of football.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, kickers are people too, and special teams guys, long snappers, etc. So,
there's more yardage exchanged on special teams plays than the offense and defense combined. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Talking about punt yardage, kickoff yardage. Of course, it's kind of like, but there's yards exchanged.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Which brings me to my next question about your Pro Form Kicking Academy. I just wanted to kind of see, how did you get involved with that, first of all, and what are your plans with it going forward?
I kind of have a lot of stuff going on with it. I started this academy because I was extremely passionate about kicking. And the thing with me, and I kind of alluded to it earlier about my size, is the fact that I was able to do things that guys my size shouldn't have been able to do. I was doing things better than, I was kicking balls better and further than guys that were half or twice my size. I'm half their size. And why is that? Well, it wasn't because of my athletic ability. It wasn't because of my size. It wasn't because of my strength and speed and all that. It was because I had good technique. And I think that again, I'm very prideful of the stuff that I teach. And I think that this is a very, prideful thing to say, but I believe that I teach the best way of kicking a football. We always talk about how there's a limit to your success as a kicker who just athletically steers a ball through the uprights. You can only get so good. But with the stuff that we're teaching, you can be the best that you can be. And that's what I tell all the kids that come in to work with us. We say, what we're trying to do is get you to whatever level you are most capable of getting to. And this stuff that we teach will get you there because it makes total sense. I just popped my knuckles. Sorry. It makes total sense because everything we teach is now it's like, wait, it goes against a lot of other things that other guys teach, but I'm really good at, and I can still show them. I'm 48 years old and almost 49. I can still show them exactly. Cause a lot of stuff we say and we're teaching, it doesn't make sense. Like, how's the ball supposed to go there if you're doing this? I'm like, I'm going to show you that so you can actually believe it. Because if I was told that, I'd be like, clearly there's stuff that I'm referring to that's a little bit out there. But with regards to the stuff that we're teaching is different. So that's where I've got this going. And it's tough sometimes because some kids, they don't, if they feel it's odd or it feels weird, they shy away from it. But I tell them, I say, listen, if you ever went to a camp and you didn't, you felt comfortable and the coaches were telling you you're doing a good job and they didn't really tell you much about what you were doing, or if you didn't feel any different when you were kicking the ball, you're not learning anything. So with Pro Form and what we're teaching, you're going to definitely feel different because it's very, very different from the common sense kicking or what other coaches are teaching out there are what worked great for them, but they're not going to get the kids as good as they could possibly be. And so I've kind of partnered up with some other companies. I just got involved with a company called Area Scouts, and we'll be doing, I'm the national director of kicking and punting. So I'll be creating the evaluation programs for kickers across the nation that are involved with Area Scouts. And they'll have to kind of follow this protocol that I develop. And it's kind of a standard. We're going to have, benchmarks and red flags and stuff like that, where we're going to talk about how, you know, you're doing things right, you're doing things wrong. And area scouts really focuses on movement and proper movement. They started in baseball. That was their big niche, because they, I think the little 12-year-old kids who have had all kinds of injuries with their shoulders because they're throwing improperly so much that is ripping their shoulders apart. So area scouts is not only we're doing like a base evaluation with a very extensive motion and movements, and evaluating those motion and movements and correcting those motion and movements if they needed to be corrected. But it also gives these athletes true exposure to professionals, you know, like me in kicking. Cecil Shorts is actually involved in it as well.
Very
and
cool.
Then, yeah, so we got, and then a couple of Fred McGriff for baseball. He does this full time. So it's all about giving back and getting these kids involved in things that are going to make them better and be the best that they can be, but also safely. Clearly, we talked about, you said kickers have injuries. Yeah, we do, because there's a lot of force. But if you do it correctly, your chances for injuries are a lot less.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, hey, Mike, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate this. This was a blast. Thank you, just as a longtime Jags fan. It was just a pleasure to see you play and all the great memories. So thanks again for doing this, and I wish you the best.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Let me get that JYD coming up with the big sack. Quarterbacks beware, we on the prowl. Game day night, you could hear it in our growl. Intimidation on to keep their hearts racing, eating other teams live on TV front of the nation. Spectacular defensive scheme. This episode is available on the Jaguar Podcast YouTube channel. So if you stop by, make sure to subscribe and give this video a like. Also, these episodes are available on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and other major podcast distributors as well. So if you don't mind, please leave me a review and some feedback. I'd really appreciate that. If you'd like to connect with me on social media, my Twitter handle is @JagRoarPodcast. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. This is Andrew signing off. Cheers.